Hey everyone, Josh here. Quick question for you. Do you like coffee? Even more important question, do you like fresh coffee? Coffee that's roasted to order and doesn't taste like the bottom of your kitchen oven? If you answered yes to any of these questions, then you need to head over to MaquanoCoffee.com and get yourself some of the best coffee there is to get. Whether you like the light roast or the dark roast, or you're feeling a little whimsical and you want to get that sample pack, Maquano Coffee Roasters has everything you need. And just when you thought this couldn't get any sweeter, make sure to use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. Do yourself a favor and stop drinking bad coffee, because you know what? Life's too short for that. Head on over to MaquanoCoffee.com and use the promo code REFORMATORY to get 20% off all bagged coffee. You will not regret it. Thanks, and now on to the show.
What do you got for me? What's wrong with you people? I got nothing for you. What's wrong?
Benediction right there. That was so good.
What's going on, everyone, and welcome to The Reformatory, the podcast for the local church and by the local church. And we are your local churchmen. My name is Josh, and I'm here, as always, with the man, the myth, the legend. Needs no introduction, the captain, Jack Berry. Jack, how are you, my man?
Sir, how are you?
Good.
It's good to see you. Speaking of captains,
yes.
I'm not trying to spoil X-Men 97, but a certain captain showed up in X-Men 97.
X-Men, huh?
Some stirring of worlds, multiversing.
I like this.
Yeah, then dude.
Yeah,
I'm plugging it, people. Like, if you're not watching X-Men 97, it's way more of an adult version the original animated series. So it's kind of like tailoring to those millennials that watched the animated series when they were kids, and now it's like grown up. So
okay,
it's nice.
I like it. A lot. Anyway. I like it. Yeah, no, I haven't seen any yet. I haven't, and I also have to catch up on Bad Batch. So when my deacons, he keeps telling me, he keeps asking if I've seen Bad Batch, and I haven't. And I keep telling him I haven't seen it yet, and I need to, because I hear that's really good. I hear X-Men 97 is really good. I just don't have time. And that's the frustrating thing, is I need to make time. I think that means I'm too busy. If I can't sit down and watch an episode of Bad Batch or X-Men 97, I think it means that I'm too busy. But Jack, I've got some good news of my own.
Ooh,
this
and
is pretty cool.
Yes.
Of more personal nature, but we're very transparent on this podcast. Right. And we share our struggles as well as our victories. I am down 3 pant sizes, my friend. 3.
Whoa, whoa. Oh, I thought you were going to flip off the camera there.
No. I did do that. I did a weird 3.
Whoa,
I will admit.
Spicy.
Spicy
episode today, people.
It's like what is the movie? Is it Inglourious Basterds when he says we'll take 2? Right, but he holds up.
He'll take three
instead of doing this, and that's how the guy knows he's an American.
You are not German.
You are not German.
you did this.
Yeah.
Oh man.
No, but yeah, count them 3, and I'm looking good. I'm feeling good, man.
Woo.
Like, I took a picture. Yeah. So this is gonna sound vain, but guys, especially guys who are like athletic or have an athletic background, you're going to know what I mean. I took a picture the other day. I saw myself in a picture. I'm like, dude, like, my shoulders are coming back.
Yeah,
like,
baby.
I'm getting the shoulders back, man. It's just happy. It makes me happy. But Jack, we got fun stuff to talk about today, so why don't we get into that? But before we do, why don't you hit us with a little bit of the business and give us this week's Reformatory Cigar of the Week. My friend, what do you got for us?
Friends, we are finishing up. April is for Asylum Cigars. Just a note, we didn't share this on the... usually we share some more exclusive stuff on the Podluck episodes, but next month is May. Mm-hmm. I thought about it. I don't like the brands that are out there. They're not boutique. So instead of going boutique as far as cigar brands, we're going to go specifically M named cigars.
Shaking it up. I like it.
Shaking it up a little bit.
I like it.
So anyway, our last and final Asylum cigar for the month of April mm-hmm. is the Asylum Premium 2012 Vintage 4x44.
Yeah.
This is a cigar that was actually in the top 25 of cigars quite a bit ago.
Okay.
So this was ranked number 16 in the top 25 of cigars in 2013.
Nice.
It's a shorter cigar. It does, I mean, it has a lot of flavor to it, and it consistently keeps ranking over about 91. I think the most recent ranking was a 94. So it is, a Puro Nicaraguan across the board, filler, binder, wrapper, everything, Puro Nicaraguan, shorter cigar. This is going to be more of that earthiness flavor. It's going to have some coffee. It's going to have, some kind of dried fruit notes and whatnot. So, but, this cigar, since the sizing is kind of weird and odd, it's interesting because you know what the price on this bad boy is?
Tell me.
MSRP, $5 to $6.
Dude, that's great.
For a top 25 cigar.
That's awesome.
Folks. Yeah. So, anyway, that rounds out April's for Asylum. May is going to be for... Okay, this is what I thought. May is for mystery. And why I said mystery is because, Josh, did you grow up with the mystery Airheads?
Yeah, the white ones?
Yes.
Yes, I still don't know what it is.
I want all the mystery Airhead vibes in this month for the cigar. So we are just gonna pick one of those white mystery Airheads and see what it tastes like. So
I like this.
Yep. Y'all get ready for it. So
legit.
That is the cigar of the last cigar of the month for April is Asylum, and we'll go into May is for mystery. So
fantastic. Well, Jack, putting in the work as always, my friend. Well done. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the Reformatory Cigar of the Week, and you know what to do. Go and smoke to the glory of God. All right, Jack. So today we are talking, you know, what are the two things that people say don't talk about, right? Don't talk about religion. Don't talk about politics. We're talking about both of them today. there's this video going around on the socials of this pastor named Lorraine. It is a man. I think I'm pronouncing it right. Lorraine Livingston. And basically, it's a video of him critiquing the modern American church with its infatuation with politics. Now, this video has kind of really split people right down the middle in terms of their reactions to it. We have some people who... are thoroughly against what he said. You know, some people who are thoroughly for what he said. And then you have other people who, I think this is kind of where Jack and I fall, land kind of in the middle. So I guess it's kind of a three-way split. But I think it exposes some good topics and provides some good discussions that I think people should be having within the local church as, you know, regarding... what should our demeanor be toward politics as not only Christians, but also maybe those who are, you know, members in local church? How do you interact with each other when it comes to this topic? How do you lead a local church if you're in the leadership through topics like this? Because, you know, we can't really escape it. America is a very politically driven culture.
Yeah,
and there's so much identity that goes into where you line up politically, and like it or not, that has crept into the church and we have to deal with it, right? So
yeah.
I don't think it'd be wise for us just to put a, you know, turn a blind eye to that reality. I think there's some good discussions to be had from this video. There's some things this guy says that I agree with, and there's some things where I'm like, I think it might need to take a little more of a nuanced take. So I'm going to do my best here with the new technology that we have to play this for us, and we can basically just kind of go in and out and kind of provide some commentary. And I'd love to open this up to discussion too, because I think every Christian and every local church, right? Cause this is a podcast for the local church. Every local church is going to deal with this issue differently, right? So I would like to, you know, have some good discussion, I would say kind and gentle discussion. But Jack, have you, before we hop into this video, have you seen this?
I have seen it. Yeah. We discussed it last night in my Pastors and Leaders Institute group.
I
think all of us were of consensus on a couple key things that he says that are kind of majoring on the majors, really. But yeah, there's some other stuff that we can talk about. And it's interesting. We're going through a sermon series called You Are Not Your Own, which is based off the Heidelberg Catechism question one. And next Sunday, we're talking about You Are Not Your Politics. So this this is a very timely episode.
So we're just, we're basically just going to prime
we're
the pump
up.
For.
Yeah, we're teeing it up.
Yeah. Okay. All right. All right. Well, let's pray that this technology here works. I think it will. We're going to click on that. We're going to click on that. All right. Click on that.
Oh, here we go, baby.
Jack, can you see this?
Oh, yes. Yes, I can. Yes.
I like it. Okay. All right, here we go.
Some of you bring politics into the church. You think that politics is spiritual stuff. Politics is of this world.
Okay. Let's pause there for a second,
because
I do have some thoughts on that.
Yeah.
He makes the claim that some of you think politics is spiritual stuff. And he's saying it's not, it's of this world. Okay. I don't know where you fall on that, Jack, but for me, especially as someone like looking at it from a pastoral standpoint, I feel like it's both.
Yeah.
In that, yes, I do agree that the current political system, as well as all political systems in every country, they are of this world, right? They are of this world. They were, you know, set up by men, and they are run by man, and they are subject to man's corruption and man's sin, right?
Yeah.
It is not a, they aren't based truly on biblical truth, and we're not going to see them in heaven or in the new world, right? So, but I will say, though, that none of those political systems should be engaged with unspiritually.
Yeah.
And that's where I think that statement might need a little nuance and might be a little misleading, and that I believe as Christians, we are called to engage in politics primarily spiritually.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Meaning that we engage, just like we engage in everything, we engage it in grace and in truth through the lens of the authority of Scripture, right?
Yeah.
Your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I do think, sure, so like governments and stuff like that. I mean, let's be honest, we talk about church government here a lot. So, I mean, is that not of a spiritual matter?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, I think the way that countries are run, sure. But it even goes back to maybe like the Torah or the Mosaic law, right? So are we going to say that the way that God set up the people of Israel in this certain way in the Old Testament, do we say that is not politics? Which I think it is.
Sure.
It's a set of government that God had ordained, even though the people, Israel going to Israel.
Sure.
And and they wanted Saul as their king. But, you know, I think that God obviously showed through the story and history of redemption that David taking the throne is a type of way in looking at how Christ rules on the throne. Mm-hmm. And so I think everything comes under authority of the Lord Jesus, right? So all governments, everybody right. should be coming under authority of that. So to a dynamic politics and government and how government should be run should be looking how best we can please the Lord Jesus. Mm-hmm. But also, you know, we got to go to our roots, and our roots are particular Baptists. And particular Baptists have not been treated nicely by the government sure. in the past. Sure. So yeah. we have been infringed upon, let's say. And so, you know, this even goes back to how we look at our rights. And he talks about this a little bit, which we'll get into. But yeah. should we kind of push that we have a right to do this or whatnot? But in some ways, yeah. I don't think you can wholesale sell this as like politics is of the world. So whatever, let it go to hell in the handbasket.
Right.
It has to be engaged in a way that no, politics is under the Lord Jesus's feet.
Right.
You know, if we look at this in a psalm, in a way of the Psalms, like earth is the Lord's footstool, mm-hmm. right? So yep. everything Amen. Is under his feet. Everything's yep. under his rule. So,
yep. yeah, yeah, yeah. No, no, absolutely. Yeah, I think we need to be viewing politics, view the way you vote, view everything. Everything you do, like the rules don't change once you enter into the civic realm of politics, right? Everything is placed under, just like Jack said, the lordship of Jesus Christ, who is reigning at this moment as king, mm-hmm. and his authoritative word that he has given to us, right? So in that nature, it is very spiritual. Right.
Sure.
Yeah. But I think as he goes a little farther, what he is going to continue to nail in on is that it is not spiritual in the way that people, I would say a good amount of people, especially in America, make it, as they view it as, well, I'll just say they elevate it to a place that it shouldn't be within yeah. their hearts and within the church. Right. So. Yeah. Let's continue onward. Let's see what else Mr. Loran Livingston has for us here.
You think it's your duty to be political about this, that, and the other. No, your duty is to serve the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, body, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. Don't be talking to me about my spiritual responsibility to vote. I don't have a spiritual responsibility to vote.
It's all right, Pastor. We've all been there. We've all been there. You're in the middle of like driving home, like what you think is just an awesome point.
I don't
and
have
you
a
self sabotage yourself by stumbling over your words, dude. I have done that so many times.
Oh,
it kills
yeah.
me. Whew. It kills yeah. me when I do that. Let's continue.
I have a civic privilege. Don't be telling me that voting is spiritual. See, that's what happens when you don't read and pray. When you don't read and pray, you say, wow, there's a Bible out now that includes the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Isn't that wonderful? No. No, it's disgusting. It's blasphemous. It's a ploy. Are you kidding me? Some of you are so encouraged by that. Let me tell you something.
Okay, hold on. Let's stop there. So yeah. I do wholesale agree with that statement.
And sure.
that the Constitution of the United States, a man-made document that,
yeah.
you know, contrary to what some Americans believe, was not divinely inspired.
This okay. is true. Yeah.
Has no place in the same pages as the holy, inerrant, authoritative word of the Almighty God. Mm-hmm. And anyone who believes that they belong together on the same plane or be associated in that way needs, I would say very, very graciously, needs to read Holiness of God by R.C. Sproul is what they need to do. that is something that I completely agree with. The fact that, and it's not new, like this has existed before.
Yeah.
that term he used, it being a ploy. I have long maintained that politics has been a very effective weapon that Satan has used to distract the Christian off of the narrow way.
Sure. Yeah.
And because he can use, look, Satan is a deceiver. He's a liar and he's a fraud. He can use, you know, civically good things, right? Good, like good laws and good movements and things that actually benefit the country, you know, things in and of themselves that aren't bad, that are actually good and beneficial. He can use even those to distract the Christian from what they are called to do.
Mm-hmm.
And he is right. You're called to glorify God through the proclamation of the gospel and the loving your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Right? That's what we're called to do. And politics can be a massive distraction. And the Constitution or the Bill of Rights on the backside of a Bible, it just turns my stomach.
Yeah, there's two different worldviews. He talks about this a little bit, but there's two different worldviews going on there. You have the Bible, which is very much, I mean, let's be honest about this. As followers of the Lord Jesus, Jesus says constantly to pick up your cross and follow after me.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like politics, I feel like the way that you can make it kind of somewhat noble is saying that, it's engaging in a way that we govern ourselves, okay? Mm-hmm. And really the fight and the policies over how to govern ourselves. But that should not be alongside how we live out our Christian life. I think that you can vote, but act like your vote really doesn't matter. You know, you can engage in these things and act like, okay, it's at the end of the day, it's just this. It's not the end of the world.
Yeah.
Like, let's be honest. Like, I myself and another one of my friends have said this for a long time. Like, you can vote for the president all you want and talk about the direction of the country and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, it's like, how does it involve your daily life? Mm-hmm. Probably not a whole lot. Like, you're still going to have to go to work. Like, you can't blame everything on the fact that certain leaders got elected unless it really starts to impede upon the way that you live. But honestly, like, your taxes may go up here and there a little bit, and policy efforts can continue to, you know, pendulum swing all the time. But does that affect how you live out your Christian life? And it shouldn't. It really shouldn't. It's really dependent upon you to live at peace with people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's dependent upon you to continue to share the gospel and to love your neighbor as yourself, and to pick up your cross and follow after Jesus. And so just because a different president gets elected, I feel like a lot of people, either party, they go crazy over this stuff and they just don't look at the brass tacks at the end of the day, which is no, like at the end of the day, like you need to, you know, take responsibility that you are a Christian and that you are called to glorify God in the ways that you minister his gospel and his word to people. And so if you think that just because one ruler gets elected in the United States, this whole place is going into a handbasket, do you really believe in the sovereignty of God? Or are you just like, eh?
Yeah.
Well, I believe it like half-heartedly, you know? So,
I mean, we see all through scripture, right, that the heart of the king is in the hands of God, and he is in control of that, right? And God's sovereignty over all of these things is something often that is kind of the first thing that's forgotten when these political discussions pop up. Right. Because the political discussions can often trigger panic. It can trigger frustration. Right. Because, look, there's a lot of things about our country that I wish were different. I want to be different. And I would say even biblically should be different. Again, it's not just void of of, you know, any type of spirituality here, right? The amount of infants that are killed on a daily basis under the guise of choice is demonic.
Yeah.
And it is evil. And it is something that will be punished by a holy God, right? Those people will be held accountable. And it is a testament to how far as a country and as a culture we have strayed from the word of God and embraced our own ideologies, right? So there are things in our country that I wish were different, and that certain, you know, people or certain policies or certain things would restrain evil more than it does now. And I think it's good and right to vote for those things, right?
Yeah.
But understand and realize that those things come and go, because the culture comes and goes, right? Yeah. Leaders come and go. Okay. That's just what happens. And we can't be looking to politics as the end all be all of the thing that's going to change our culture. Because look, here's the thing, right? This is part of the reason why it's part of the reason why I disagree with my post-millennial brothers and sisters. I don't believe the culture is going to get better. Mm-hmm. I don't believe, like, my eschatology does not give way to a culture that becomes more and more redeemed, right? This place, I believe, just gets darker and darker.
Sure.
Right? Yeah. And we, as culture, does what culture does, and it moves away from scripture. Now, again, I could be wrong in that. There's a part of me that hopes I'm wrong in that. I think I have some post-millennial brothers and sisters that have an incredibly positive outlook on the church and the church's mission and the culture. And you know what? I envy that. And I do believe that those who are not post-millennial would, I think, do well to have that type of encouragement out, you know, to have that kind of outlook. Because, look, Jesus is still king. He's still sovereign. He's still on the throne. No matter what this culture does, that doesn't change. And we have a hope that is greater than politics. And what a wondrous truth that is, right? Mm-hmm. So it's keeping it in perspective, right? It's keeping politics where it should be, and remembering that that things are going to change, things are going to ebb, things are going to flow, but the constant is Christ and his kingship, right?
Yeah.
Let's continue.
The gospel is not an American gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
That's a good word. Also,
but Pastor, I bought the Bible.
Also, quick plug, American Gospel documentary. Great. You should watch it.
Sure.
Continue.
Really? You're telling me that you're encouraged because someone took a government U.S. Constitution, a document that says we are of the people, by the people, and for the people. The people. And you have put it right beside the word of God, which is eternal, unchanging, which says of him, by him, through him, to him, from him are all things. And you're going to put those together and be happy about it? God forbid. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but I'm going to tell you something. If you glory in that kind of thing, you don't have a prayer life.
Oh.
If you go up in that kind of mess, political mess, you do not know what the word of God says. I'm going to rear back and tell you something.
I'm gonna rear back and tell you something. All right, Pastor, what you got?
Here we
lay
go.
Lay it on us.
This is Saddle not up. My home.
Here it is. Yeah.
This world is not my home. I've been sent out just like the 70 were sent out. You've been put here and sent out just like the 70 were sent out. We've been put here as strangers and pilgrims, and we are passing through. I am just walking through. I'm just renting an apartment for a little while in this strange and foreign land. No, sir. My real citizenship is in heaven, from which we look for the Lord Jesus.
Oh, it cut off. Dang it. Lord Jesus Christ. Sorry, I got to finish it. That's funny. Yeah, dude. So I think what he kind of nailed, what he talked about there at the end, really is the crux of the matter. And we've talked about that at the Reformatory before. Okay?
Yeah.
Jack and I aren't anti-politics. We're not anti-engaging with your government, right? That's not what we're about. We believe that if your conscience dictates you vote, you should vote, and you should vote according to the authority of Scripture, right? Mm-hmm. But never forget that we are just passing through. We are sojourners. We're pilgrims. Mm-hmm. We're aliens walking through this Vanity Fair on the way to the celestial city. And there will be so many things as you pass through this Vanity Fair that are calling you to leave the path, right? Mm-hmm. Goods and trinkets and shiny things and careers and politics and you know, social media. And there's a countless number of pop-up stands that want your attention.
Yeah.
But Christ deserves it. Mm-hmm. He's the only one that deserves it. His kingdom's the only one that deserves it. So as you engage with things like politics in this life, this temporal life, remember that you do so not as a citizen primarily of America, mm-hmm. but primarily as a citizen of heaven that is just marching through on your way back home. If we had that perspective and had that as the filter over our eyes more than we do now, we would see a lot of these political discussions within the church take on a much different tone.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think the caveat for me, too, is the fact that, yes, God has made us to be earth dwellers.
Yes.
And I think that there's a lot of misconception sometimes with when we say, you know, this world is not my home. I'm in heaven. I think a lot of people say, well, then I can do whatever I want and just abuse the earth and stuff like that. I think for us, it has to go back to kind of that Pilgrim's Progress kind of image.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Where we are marching towards what God has promised us, which is mm-hmm. the new heavens and the new Jerusalem coming down to us in this culmination of the new earth, right?
Right.
And so I think people need to realize that as well, too. Like, our citizenship does belong in God's hands in heaven, that he'll give us in full kind of manifestation one day when that new Jerusalem comes down to earth mm-hmm. and God makes everything new again.
Right.
So I think people, obviously some people take that as like, well, you just want to get off earth and blah, blah, blah. It's like,
yeah.
Let me
be clear. There's part
well,
of it.
I want all yeah. things new. I yeah. do want all like, things new.
I
Let's
be
honest.
Dude, absent of this body, present with the Lord. Dude, like, yes, make this earth new. And yeah. until then, get me to heaven. I do want to be in heaven, of course.
Yeah,
yes,
I think.
I understand what you're saying, though.
Yeah, I think some people abuse that language and saying, like,
yeah, yeah.
let me just get off this yeah. you know, this forsaken rock so I can, you know.
Right.
Or I can do whatever I want to the earth and not be a steward of it and yeah. stuff like that. I think those are conversations that I've had with some other people. But yeah. But some people would say, oh, well, you're just eisegeting and blah, blah, blah. It's like, let's be honest about this. Like, if you go back to a lot of the epistles and even the book of Revelation, you are dealing with governments and governmental authorities. Like, why wouldn't the early church look to God and say, like, yes, my citizenship is in heaven? Mm-hmm. Because that earthly citizenship sucks. Yeah. Let's be honest. The citizenship of the Roman Empire, if you were a guy, that was about it. That's the only advantage you had in those societies. If you're a woman, nope. Like, you barely got any rights.
Yeah.
If you're any other,
you better be rich.
If you're any other ethnicity, like, you don't have any rights. Like, yeah. It's just, and then as a Christian, let's be honest about this too. If you were a Christian in the Roman society,
yep.
if you did not participate in the public, and I think that's important for us too, to think about this, is that when Christians basically did not engage in public celebrations or feasts, that was the Romans' way of looking at saying, like, they're atheists.
Yeah.
When we know that they're absent from our feasts and these celebrations, that means that the Christians are withholding the blessing from us.
Sure.
So there's even an element that's very ancient to where that's reappearing with some Christians saying, if you don't vote, like, we're not going to get blessed. We're not going to get the people in power that we want.
Right.
And that sounds very much like what Rome and what the Roman society was doing back then. You know, if you don't vote, if you don't participate publicly, then we won't get blessed. Mm-hmm. And that's absolutely a form of, you know, the prosperity gospel. But now it's even a form of, like, almost like the politic gospel in a sense too, right?
Yeah.
To where if we're not the ruling party, then we don't get what we want.
Yeah.
And I just don't see in scripture that we have to continually, like, pour ourselves out for some system of government in order that we can get what we want. What the scriptures are calling us to is a radical form of assurance, a radical form of dependence,
yeah,
on the triune God of the scriptures and not of this world.
Yep.
And I, you know, if we think that voting, like Josh was saying, if we think of voting as an end all, is a means to an end, so we can get people in power, so we can just, you know, do whatever we want, I think we're missing the point.
Yeah,
of a lot of what the Bible is trying to get through to us. So
yeah, it's true, man. Yeah. It's true. Yeah. Yeah. No, I think it's a good discussion, and it's a long discussion. Right. And I think it's discussion that requires time and definitely nuance, definitely gentleness. Right. But these are just some initial thoughts in that as you engage in politics in America, make sure that you don't get distracted and make sure not to elevate them to a place that you shouldn't in your heart and in your mind, because it's very easy to do that when everybody else in your culture is doing that and demanding that you do that as well.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to be so careful as Christians to remember that we are just passing through. Do good to the city while you're in it, but understand you are not going to be in that city long. Okay. Yep. Don't get distracted by the political pop-up stands.
Yeah,
because they're there and they want you and they want you to keep you. They want you to keep you there as long as you can. But you have a home. Yeah, they do.
They want that that Johnny Manziel. They want that Kashishe, baby. You know, stupid little celebration.
Yes.
You sit down in Cleveland.
It's true. Stupid hair. Sorry. All right. That's all we would say. Remember, you are citizens of a much greater place. A place that has no end, whose king is established and established forever. So,
yeah. And it's just a reminder, too. You are not your own.
No, you're not.
You are not your politics.
No,
you belong body and spirit and soul, or body, spirit, or soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a good reminder to us, because we often want to grab the wheel and say, no, I want to do what I want.
Right. Yep. We're very good at that.
And, you know, we can try and do that. Look at what happened to Israel when they tried to do that. Yeah. Things didn't go too well, folks.
No.
So
no.
Just keep that in perspective that we are not our own.
Absolutely. So. Jack, my friend, why don't you get us out of here?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you appreciate Josh and I's attempts at making the local church central to the believer's life, to engage with our culture and our politic and our government in a way in which we try and make our local churches central to our lives as the Christians of this nation, you can follow us some more on the sociables. Yes. The Facebook, excuse me, the metaverse, the Zuck site. Apparently Mark Zuckerberg got a glow up. Have you seen those pictures?
I mean, he's got enough money.
Somebody put a beard on him and photoshopped him. And it's all like, how did Mark Zuckerberg get a glow up from this beard? Anyway, it's the metaverse. Okay, yeah, it's the metaverse. The Instagram. You can follow us there. It goes well with chocolate marshmallow. Or you can follow us on the always dumpster fire that is the former sociable known as Twitter X.
Yes.
And you can follow us at the tag at Reformatory Pod on all those sociable sites. You can drop us a DM, a question, maybe a episode idea, stuff along those lines.
Compliment my shoulders.
Compliment Josh's Josh's hulky looking shoulders now, boulder shoulders.
I'm getting my V back.
Getting that shoulder V back, dude.
Yeah.
You can do that, Josh. You can tell the lovely people how they might support us in other
ways.
We're
such dumb jocks, dude. Oh man, we really are. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, there are many ways you can support the Reformatory. And we have a YouTube. We're going to actually start being able to put videos back on now that we have our tech issues figured out.
Yeah.
So head on over to YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, hit the little bell for notifications. As the kids say, we would really appreciate that. You can rate this podcast and review this podcast on Apple and I believe Spotify. I know we talk about it a lot, but it actually does help get the podcast out to more people so more people can be encouraged to keep their local church central. And we would really appreciate it if you're a longtime listener, zero-time reviewer, that you would take the time to do that. We would really appreciate that. Last but not least, we have a Patreon. All access, exclusive Reformatory content. We call it the Podluck. And for a $5 holla, $5 a month, that's less than a Starbucks drink, as we found out.
I found that out today.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Yeah.
But for less than $5 a month, you, well, I would say add $5 a month. You could become a Patreon supporter, support us on the Reformatory, have all the rights thereunto, and our pledge to you is that your name shall be hallowed.
Hallowed, sir. Hallowed.
Hallowed through the halls of the podcast. That is our pledge to you. We thank every single one of you for listening. And we will catch you on the next step of the Reformatory.